Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Patriots Playbook. My name is Chris Price. Usually with WEEI.com, you can hear me most Sundays on the NFL Sunday, NFL Countdown. Over on, I forgot the name of the show.
You're on the show.
I'm on the show. I should know the name of the show. NFL Countdown over on WEEI. But today I am sitting in for John Rook here on Patriots Playbook, joined by Eric Scalavino of Patriots Football Weekly. How you doing, Eric?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Not bad.
Welcome
not bad.
To the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here. It's very exciting to be here. It's very exciting to be a part of this. I did this a couple of years ago with a former colleague of ours, Mike Parenti, and it was fabulous. I had a great time. And so when they asked me this week to come back, I said, sure. What the heck? Because it's going to be a great game. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to be talking to Stash. We're going to be talking to Stash of the Ravens Radio Network. Hopefully, he's going to be able to give us a little bit of insight.
Isn't that the guy from Guns N' Roses?
The Izzy. You know, we can ask about the rest of them. And then we're going to talk to Russell Baxter at 3 o'clock in the 3 o'clock hour from ESPN, and just kind of take us around the league a little bit, give us a little bit of statistical insight into
Russell
the Patriots.
Knows his stuff.
He really does. He really does. I've heard him a couple of times on this show, and I'm really looking forward to talking to him. But first off, let's start off with what we saw today, this week, Wednesday and Thursday. It wasn't a great day in the locker room for us in the media, but at the same time, we were able to learn a few things. We just got back, the two of us just got back from practice, and Wes Welker was there.
Second day in a row, third week in a row that he's been at practice pretty much every day.
If we can read, can we read anything into that at this stage? Because he again, like you said, you know, he was there every day last week, and yet he did not dress for Sunday's game.
Yeah, you see him in the locker room, too, walking around, doesn't seem to be impaired by anything, but clearly there's something wrong or else he'd be dressing on Sundays and playing. I guess my gut tells me not to expect him on Sunday, only because of what we've seen the last 2 weeks. I'm not going to fall into the trap of thinking, oh, he's practicing, he's going to be playing. We haven't seen that, so until we start seeing him practice and play, I'm going to err on the side of caution and say that he's not going to play.
The one thing that stood out for me is, and we know this, you know, if you're in the locker room and if you're injured, you are out of sight, out of mind. They don't talk to you. You are behind closed doors. You avoid us like the plague. And the one thing I thought was interesting today was that we saw Welker in the locker room.
And
he respectfully declined an interview request. But at the same time, the fact that he was there, I'm not going to say that's a slam dunk, meaning that he is going to be out on the field on Sunday, but I think that that would give Patriots fans maybe a little bit more of a cause for optimism than maybe last week. I might be reaching here.
Well, if he had talked, I might be more on board with that analysis. The fact that he declined led me to believe that it's still taboo subjects.
Yeah.
But I want to be on the pessimistic side because I'd rather be pleasantly surprised and see him out there.
That's true.
Than to hope all week and get my hopes up thinking he'll be out there and then not see him, like when we went to New York and he was standing on the sidelines.
A bit of a surprise there.
Very much a surprise there. So I'm going to just continue to be cautiously pessimistic.
Okay. Cautiously pessimistic.
Right.
We should also, before we forget here, we should let folks know that you can get in touch with us via email at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number also, if you want to give us a call, is 508-543-7482. That number again is 508-543-7482. Getting back to Welker a little bit, how important do you see, and I think he's actually, obviously, you know, we can talk about him being pretty important, but I think he is important to the success of this offense, particularly this week against a team like Baltimore, a team that can bring so much defensive pressure, can get after, can do such a good job getting after the quarterback. I think he is integral to the success of this offense this week, because I think we're going to see the Patriots. We're not going to see them run it like they did against Atlanta. Look, this Baltimore team is very, very good against the run. I think one of the things that you're going to see from this Patriots team this week is they're going to spread it out. They're going to go 3-4 wide in an attempt to get the ball out of there as fast as possible and to try and negate that pass rush.
That's I think that's pretty cogent analysis. I would just add that I think Welker would be integral to any game plan, no matter who you're playing that week. I think he would have helped out against the Jets. I think he would have helped out against Atlanta last week. But you know, you're right. In a situation like this, where this is one of the best defenses they'll face all year, they need to find a way to neutralize that. And part of the way you do that is you spread them out. You don't let them focus on one thing. Last week, you know, Atlanta's defense wasn't nearly the caliber that we're going to see this week with Baltimore. But the Patriots weren't really at their best until late in the game, kind of like in Buffalo, where they would move the ball against Atlanta, but then they'd fall apart in the red zone, have to kick a field goal. It wasn't until they went for that fourth down in their own territory where they really started to click and to turn things on. They're going to need all the receivers they can get this week, and so it would be advantageous if Welker came back this week. I don't think Edelman, who's sort of filled that role in Welker's stead, has been all that bad. He's just had a couple of drops that hit him right in the hands.
A couple of bad drops.
On the same kind of route, too, a short, like, 5-yard crossing pattern, where it's almost like he was kind of looking ahead before he made the catch.
He was going over the middle.
He was going over the middle.
I think he may
have
been sensing, kind of, you know, in an attempt to keep his eyes and his ears open.
Yeah.
Maybe kind of hearing footsteps a little.
Right. And that's not what, you know, Welker typically takes that, maybe dodges a tackle and turns what would have been maybe a 3 or 4 yard gain into a 7 or 8 yard gain. Now, I did see Edelman do that once in the previous game. And I think he's starting to get to that level. But again, we have to remember, he's a rookie who's changed positions, and it's a lot to sort of put all that on his plate. So, you know, if Welker doesn't go, you're going to have to see more of Edelman. And in a way, the silver lining is that you're going to expose him to more things early on than he normally would have gotten. And that sort of, in the long run, makes your receiver core a lot better than it might have been a little bit more. There's more depth there. If you give a guy like that some chances early. You also mentioned the running game, pounding it at Baltimore. I agree with that that's probably going to be not the way they're going to attack that defense. I think you'll see more of the screen game. Get the running backs involved, but get them out in space and sort of have to let those big linemen and some of the linebackers try to chase them across the field. You know, send your linemen out on pulls and try to get them downfield to block, and that is going to be a way that they can use the running backs to their advantage against this defense, I think.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting that we didn't see so much against the Jets, not so much the screen pass, but being able to use a defense's over-aggressiveness against them, maybe for lack of a better term, more reverses. More draws. They ran kind of a modified draw with, I think, Fred Taylor lining up next to Brady in the backfield.
Talking about in the Jets game.
In the Jets game. And I think we might see more of that this week. We see that traditionally when the Patriots play the Steelers, because they are such a hyper-aggressive team, because they are tend to over-pursuit. I think we may see some of that this week with the Patriots and the Ravens. And not to suggest that the defensive schemes are similar to that of the Steelers, but the Steelers tend to over-pursue. They can be tricked a lot of times in the play action. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some play action this week in an attempt to kind of win the day when it comes to making sure that the you know, those linebackers and those defensive tackles and those big bodies up front, again, because they do tend to over pursue as much as they do in Baltimore.
I'm trying to think back to the 07 game, which is the last time they played in the regular season together. They played, you know, last preseason, but you can't really count that as a as an accurate barometer of how this team's going to do. And I don't recall. I think Brady pretty much threw that whole game.
There was not a lot of running. Yeah, there was not a lot of running in that
game. And it was an awful weather game. Yeah. Windy and kind of, you know, it was dark. It was a night game. But, so It's funny, though, because every time we think we've got the game plan figured out,
it's exactly,
it's really not.
It's 180 degrees removed.
Right. So I kind of am now starting to think that maybe we're going to see more running directly at guys like Terrell Suggs or Haloti Ngata and trying to force them, sort of playing reverse psychology against this defense. Okay, if that's the thing you do best,
prove it. Prove it. Yeah, prove it to us.
So I'm kind of conflicted about what they're going to do now.
Well, I want to change gears a little bit here before we bring in. Actually, we are going to bring him in now. This is Stash of the Ravens Radio Network joining us right now on Patriots Playbook. Stash, are you with us?
I am, and I think that's a mistake to run right at Haloti Ngata.
Okay.
I think that's crazy. Oh,
I think so too. We were just
thinking about different ways that the Patriots could or should go about trying to attack this Ravens defense. One of the theories that we put out there was the idea that, you know, because we know just enough to be dangerous here in New England, you know, when it comes to the Patriots, and the idea of, well, you know, we think we have a pretty good idea of the game plan. They usually do a 180 on us. Tell us why that would be a bad idea for the Patriots.
Well, Terrell Suggs missed most of the preseason. He had a couple of injuries that were kind of just, I guess, minor enough that he could walk around and be a practice, but that allowed him to skip some of the practices. He's getting in better game shape every week, and he's just looking like a beast on the practice field. Haloti Ngata is just a fire plug in the middle of that line, and he just stuffs it up so nice. I think, probably a better way to go at this defense, if there is a way to go at the Ravens defense right now, is to try to match up get some mismatches on the cornerbacks. And, Ed Reed's got a bad neck. Something's going on where he's not hitting like he was. I think I'd probably go at maybe the back end.
Well, you see, I'd be more scared to try to throw at Ed Reed even with a bad neck.
Yeah.
I think, but you did bring it up, though. The corners, I think, might be the softest spot in this defense. Are we reading that accurately?
Well, that's what everybody says here, and I think they had a great game against Cleveland last week, but Cleveland didn't have anything. Cleveland couldn't get anything started, so.
But then that's
Cleveland.
They were
trying to throw the ball, but they benched their quarterback in the middle of the game.
That's Cleveland. That's not Tom Brady and Randy Moss. And
sure is not, and that's the thing. It's Randy Moss is going up against guys that are 5'10", 5'9", and they're going to have to climb a tree.
We know about guys on that Baltimore defense like Ed Reed, like Ray Lewis, like Terrell Suggs. Give us the name of a guy that we might not know about who has done a pretty good job through the first 3 weeks of this season.
On the Ravens defense, if you're watching Jarrett Johnson, he's just more explosive than ever this year, and he's playing on the opposite side of Terrell Suggs at that outside linebacker spot in the 3-4. Went to Alabama, came up sort of at a good pace, getting better every year. This year, he's just possessed out there. So look for number 95 to make some big hits.
Now, what about the other side of the ball? I heard that all preseason, Todd Heap was back. He was healthy. He was going to add another dimension to this offense for Joe Flacco, and now I'm hearing that he's not 100%. What's the truth behind all that?
Well, he's practicing, so I think he's probably.
So is Wes Welker. We haven't seen him in 2 weeks.
Todd's had nagging things, hamstrings, stuff like that, that come and go. But he has been pretty effective the first couple of weeks. And last year he was more of a blocking tight end because of the scheme they were running. And they were running the ball a lot more. This year they seem to be. I mean, they came out first game against Kansas City and threw the ball in the first six plays and went for the kill shot. Last week against Cleveland, Joe Flacco threw the ball to Derek Mason, a 72-yard touchdown. They were up 27-3 at the time. So it's just watching this offense and watching what's going on. Trevor Price told me on Monday, I do the afternoon radio show here on 98 Rock. That's the flagship here in Baltimore. And Trevor Price was on with me Monday. He said he saw plays in the Cleveland game that he's never seen in practice. He said they practice against the offense every day. But some of the things that Cam Cameron was throwing out there in the playbook on game day, they had never even seen.
What's the biggest difference between Flacco this year and what he was able to do last year? We've all seen the increase in the numbers, but can you point to two or three things that he's doing differently this year than he was doing as a rookie?
He's extremely mobile. I think he was mobile last year. He's not afraid to run if he has to, but he can extend the play, and it seems like he's got the offensive scheme down better where he can go out there and if the first thing doesn't work, He's good at extending the play and checking down and finding somebody, and he's been spreading the ball around to so many different targets. And I'll tell you honestly, I think Kelly Washington's a big difference.
That was going to be one of my next questions. The idea of, because we saw pretty much from what we saw from him here in New England the last couple of years was him as a special teams guy. We never saw him get on the field much, if at all, as a wide receiver. What is he doing for this offense? How has he been able to contribute to this offense this year?
He's getting open, especially on third down. And he's finding himself in situations where if he's the third receiver out there, sometimes he gets a nice matchup against somebody. And plus, he's the tallest of the receivers the Ravens have, and just the biggest go-up-and-get-it kind of target that Joe Flacco hasn't had, and he really wanted it. Everybody was here during the offseason. All anybody talked about was the Ravens have got to go get a number one receiver. And then when Derek Mason was going to retire for a week or two, he changed his mind and came back to the team. But during that week or two, everybody was flipping out about our receiver situation. And Kelly Washington came in, tried out, then made steady progress during training camp, and he's got a touchdown and a bunch of catches in each game.
We talked a little bit about Flacco, and we talked a little bit about Kelly Washington, Heap, those guys. Give us the name. We talked about the name of a guy on the defensive side of the ball that might be a bit of a surprise. Give us the name of a guy on the offensive side that might surprise some Patriots fans come Sunday.
Well, I don't expect L.J. Smith to surprise anybody because it seems like he's made of something less than steel. I don't expect to see him out there unless something happens to Todd Heap, or maybe on a double tight end set, so I wouldn't go with him. LaRon McClain, fullback, catching the ball out in the flat as sort of a check down situation. He's 250 pounds. Once he gets out there and gets a little bit of room, he can make some people pay for coming up and trying to tackle him, arm tackle him one-on-one. He's pretty thick.
That was going to lead me to another question for you about the backfield, which is Ray Rice. Saw his tape coming out of Rutgers and really thought he was a good back. Thought the Ravens made a good pick there. Is he really that much better right now than Willis McGahee, or is it a function of McGahee's injuries piling up and his not having what he used to have?
You know what? This year, Willis came in with his head screwed on. I know Willis pretty well, and last year his head wasn't in it. He was battling with the new coaching staff. This year, he showed up in shape. He's been going for it every day in practice as hard as ever, and he's got 5 touchdowns, and he runs better between the tackles. When Ray Rice gets some room outside, they've been using Ray Rice as much as a receiver as they have as a running back. He just finally got his first touchdown against Cleveland. That was his first NFL touchdown. He played all last season and 3 games into this season, and he scored for the first time. But they love having the chance to use somebody each week in whatever situation they're in, like the way Willis has been coming in the red zone and scoring with the ball. Last week, walking in without getting touched a couple times. And I think it's just the way they have this three-headed monster back there, they have a lot of options.
All right, Stash, put on your gray hoodie here and play the role of Bill Belichick. What does Belichick and the Patriots have to do? What do they have to do this week to come out of here with a win?
They got to put the Ravens up against the wall by scoring early. I think scoring early and getting rhythm with Tom Brady, because I think a lot of people here don't see Tom Brady as having his Brady rhythm yet. Maybe it's missing last season, or maybe it's just, when you see him screaming at people on the sidelines. People here on the team tell me that's a good thing, because that's the leader coming out in Tom Brady. He wants everybody to be on the page, and he wants that rhythm. If the Patriots are going to get out in front and hold on to it, I think it's score early and throw it.
Tell us one last thing, would you, Stash?
Mm-hmm.
What's with the name? What's
Steve
the story
Ash.
Behind the name, huh?
It's my name is Steve Ash.
Okay. Oh, okay. So, I see right. That. You're moving. You're bumping together. Makes
right.
Okay.
Combine
like
it
that.
Into one.
Well,
yeah,
hey, give me also. We talked a little bit about this, and I know we're right up against a break. So, really quickly, what do the Ravens have to do if they want to win this game?
Well, they got to get to Tom Brady. I think first and foremost, they know that too. Trevor Price was saying, these are NFL quarterbacks. They're all good because they made it to the NFL, but there are a couple that are just that special. And at any minute, Tom Brady can show you why that is. So the rush is going to be huge. And as far as offense goes, their rhythm is on. I mean, Flacco's had 200-300-yard games. Granted, he hasn't faced the Patriots, but they played a great game on the road in San Diego. They answered every call for points and ended up walking away with a 31-26 win in San Diego in week two. So they got to come out. They've got to come out on fire with their cylinders sparking and you know, using all the weapons. And I think the Ravens have something. This is going to be a really physical game, and I call it a toss-up.
I was going to say, give us a prediction before we let you go.
Well, I'm on the Patriots.com Patriots Football
that,
Weekly.
Don't let that stand in your way.
It's not. I'm going Ravens 27, Patriots 24 with a last-minute field goal from our new kicker, Steven Hauschka.
Who's a New England native,
exactly.
By the way.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks a lot for your time, Stash.
Hey, man, I love it. Chris and Eric, thank you.
No
thank
problem.
Thank you so much. All right, take care.
We'll see him on Sunday, probably.
We need to take a break? This is live radio. I love this. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back here on Patriots Playbook.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA member PIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Back here on Patriots Playbook, my name is Christopher Price.
Just sitting in. Fred Kirsch over
exactly.
There.
Exactly.
Talking with your mic off.
Well, see, I don't know if you need to push the button down
Or this if guy it works just goes in radio.
I work in. I'm an internet guy. I don't work on the radio side.
Usually, the red light means you're on.
Okay. Good to know. This is good to know. Perfect. My name is Christopher Price. I'm sitting in for John Rook.
Did you see the on-air sign right there?
It's. Yeah, I'm surprised that didn't come on, exactly. Sitting in for
it's
John Rook
on.
Here on Patriots Playbook. If you want to get in touch with us, we are at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. We already have a couple emails. We're going to get to those in a moment. You can also give us a call at 508-543-7482. We just wrapped up a conversation with Stash from 99 Rock in Baltimore, the Ravens Radio Network. And we talked a little bit about what the Patriots have to do to win this game. We talked a little bit about what the Ravens have to do to win this game. One of the guys who probably will not play a big role in this game, but maybe going forward, is a guy that we met for the first time today in the locker room. Terdell Sands, 6'8", 355 pounds.
And
stunning.
He's top heavy too.
Yes.
From the waist up, he's just he's wide. He's big.
He's the size of a Buick.
Think Vince Wilfork.
Yeah.
On taller, thinner legs.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Terdell Sands looks like.
Patriots fans, literally, when you get your first look at this guy in a uniform.
The uniform didn't really fit him.
The uniform
too well.
Didn't fit him today at practice. If the first time you get a chance to see him in action, when you see him on the field, if you get a chance to watch some of the highlights on the, you know, watch some of the interviews, I'm sure they're going to be on the news tonight. You got to take a look at this guy, because this guy is.
I'm not even sure that'll do it justice.
These things really are huge.
Wow.
It was funny. Mike Reese. Is not a tall guy. But
nor am I.
But it was literally, you know, we're all standing around him in the locker room today, looking up at him.
Mm.
He is essentially signed, and I don't want to assume too much here. But do you think he's essentially signed because he's Vince Wilfork insurance at this point?
Well, I kind of thought that when I saw the transaction, because the transaction officially was announced on Tuesday, 2 days after the Atlanta game. So I tried to put two and two together and said, okay, Vince got hurt, they signed this guy, but. He divulged to us today in our 5 minutes that we had with him that he had worked out late last week with the team, went home for a few days. He lives in Tennessee, got some clothes, came back on Sunday in time for the game. And I mean, not that he was on the field, but he was in the area mm-hmm. while the game was happening. So it sounded like that move was going to be imminent regardless of whether or not Vince had his ankle problem or mm-hmm. not. So if we're to believe that, then I guess he was in the plans already
beforehand
to add depth. It just, I guess, maybe made it a little bit more imperative that they do it when Vince went down Sunday.
But, one of the reasons that I asked that, though, is because he signed a 2-year deal.
Right.
He signed a two-year deal.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't want to think too far down the road, but maybe he's the sort of guy who can step in. He has started in the NFL before. He has pretty extensive experience. I mean, he's been around for, I think it's 8 years now. He was taken in the seventh round of the 2001 draft, knocked around for a while, spent the last 6 years in Oakland, and he talked a little bit about that today, and he said, you know, Oakland's Oakland. He kind of shrugged his shoulders
yeah.
and said, you know, kind of for lack of a better term, it is what it is.
That's what pretty much every player from Oakland who's come here has yep. had that same reaction.
And like, we all kind of know. We
shaking their head and nodding and a knowing nod saying, you know, it's Oakland. And I think we know that Oakland is two other names in particular.
Yeah, yeah,
first
exactly.
and the last name.
Yeah. It's interesting to see him, and it's interesting to wonder what kind of impact he will have on that defensive front. Getting back to this Sunday, though, we talk a little bit about this Sunday and what the Patriots are expected to do, what the Patriots need to do on the defensive side of the football. From my take, it's going to be a lot like on the offensive side of the football. You're going to need all hands on deck because, granted, this Baltimore offense has not gone up against world beaters, for lack of a better term, but, you know, they play the schedule and they've looked impressive doing it.
Yeah, yeah. The win in San Diego was an eye-opener, I think. Overall, though, my impression, Chris, is that Baltimore's strength has been, in the last decade or so, their defense, and their offense has always been, slow to catch up to them in that regard. And I still think the offense is better with Flacco and with the tight ends that they have and some, you know, the running backs, I'm sorry. But I still think it's like they're the bastard stepchild. They're still trying to live up yeah. to mom and daddy's approval,
yeah.
you know? And
everyone knows when you look at that team, it's the defense
that comes
first.
Yeah. And with this team here in New England, I think it's just the opposite. You look at the offense here first, and it's the defense who doesn't normally get as much credit of late anyway. Back in 02 and 03, that might have been a different story. But now it's Brady, Moss, Welker, the offense in general gets top billing. So I think that's an intriguing matchup. The strength of this team's of New England is their offense, and they're going against the strength of Baltimore, which is their defense. Mm-hmm. And then the two less heralded aspects, Baltimore's offense and New England's defense, are going to go against each other. So I agree with what our friend Stash said before, in that it's going to be, I think it's going to be a very close game because you have two strengths going against each other. And but I think his score prediction was a little high. I think it's going to be even less than that.
I tend to think it's going to be a little bit lower than that.
But I agree that it's going to be close because you have two opposing forces that are pretty much neutralizing each other, and it's going to be interesting to see. The one advantage they have, though, New England, the guy in the hoodie.
That's true. That's true when it comes to the matchup of the two coaches. Mm. The one thing that we know
okay.
about thank you. The one thing we know about a Bill Belichick coach defense is that they go in and try and take away the opposing team's number one offensive option. This week, if you had
worked like a charm against Atlanta,
it really did. Yeah. If you're game planning for this week and you're thinking, okay, let's take away the Baltimore Ravens' number one offensive option, are you? And I'm thinking, this is what I'm going with, and tell me if you think I'm on the right track here. You take away the running game and you make Joe Flacco beat you. Is that a fair assessment?
I would say you have to let Joe Flacco prove that he, kind of like with Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they took away Matt Ryan's best weapon, and he couldn't get it to the rest of the people that he had. He couldn't get it to Roddy White and Michael Jenkins, and Michael Turner didn't necessarily do anything to put fear into us. And Matt Ryan looked very pedestrian, and he hasn't looked like that mm-hmm. since he got into the league. He's looked very above average. So they were able to do that. I think it's the same thing. I think you're right. Prove to us, Joe Flacco, that you are worthy of being the number one aspect of that offense that we need to shut down in the future.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I don't think he's at that. You know, he hasn't done. We don't face them very often, but I don't think he's done enough to prove that yet.
So you see,
he's made improvements,
yeah.
Certainly, but I don't think. I think you're right. Shut down other areas and say, okay, go ahead and try to beat us.
They've played some nickel coverage, the Patriots, defensively over the last couple of weeks.
A lot of nickel and dime. Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if they had a little bit of shift in that, had a little bit of change in their thinking this week, and brought Brandon McGowan up into the box a little bit. And you saw McGowan play more of a kind of a, that hybrid linebacker safety role that we saw Rodney play here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting that he's the same player as Rodney, but I think that you might see him fill that same kind of role this week against Baltimore.
It's interesting you say that because I think one of the reasons we've seen more nickel and dime might have been the game plan anyway, but with Mayo being out and they're already having a lack of depth at linebacker, I think you've seen a lot more four-man defensive line fronts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a lot more nickel and dime in the backfield. So what they're doing is making
kind of a 4-2-5 setup, essentially.
Right, so that they don't have to put that many linebackers out there. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have been the case even with Mayo because it might have been the game plan, the best game plan that they could have put out there for these opponents that they've played.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just so happens that with Mayo out, that helps that they don't have to spread their linebackers too thin.
That's true.
So, yeah, and I agree. McGowan's a guy who's picked this defense up pretty quickly.
Very, very quickly.
And has made an impact already.
In his playing style, too, I could see very easily endearing himself to Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. He described, it was actually your question this week, you asked him, you said, describe your playing style, mm-hmm. and he said reckless. And he really does have a reckless playing style about him, and I say that admiringly. You know, when you say reckless, you know, it's not always not always a good thing, but in this defense, I think it's a very good thing.
It does, but I think you have to be cognizant of the fact that in his four years in the NFL previous to coming here, he was with the Bears, and he was on injured reserve three of those 4 years, maybe because in part he was so reckless,
yeah.
and he didn't care for his body.
Yeah.
You know, three games in, he's been great. I just hope he can keep that up and stay healthy, because if he does, I think he's, you know, going to have a chance to make a great impact on this team. He already has. He forced the fumble against Atlanta that really changed the momentum of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta was going in for the go-ahead score. New England gets the ball. They go ahead and get the score and lead at halftime. And then the fourth down call changed everything late in that game. But, you know, we've seen McGowan, who had the majority of the coverage on Gonzalez, Tony Gonzalez, mm-hmm. last week, and did an effective job with help, obviously. Mm-hmm. But so we've seen that he can cover. We've seen that he can sort of play the in-between spot. Now, I think this week, you're right, can he be a Rodney type where he is closer to the box and has a lot of safety blitzes, mm-hmm. pressures Flacco?
Saw a little bit last week. I mean, he did get to Ryan once. He mm-hmm. got a really good hit on Ryan once.
Yep. So if he can do that, I mean, that's the makings of a pretty complete safety, if you ask me.
Rodney aside, are we seeing a more physical New England secondary this year than we have in past years? And I'm speaking specifically about McGowan and also about Lee Bodden. And Lee Bodden has shown a real physical side that we just haven't seen from a lot of New England cornerbacks over the last few years, going all the way back, I would say, to Ty Law. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I would say so. And when you say physical, the thing for me is, physical to me is tackle properly first.
Yeah.
And we've talked and get about your guy to the ground.
Exactly. When we've talked about that before.
You know, Asante Samuel, Ellis Hobbs, guys like that loved to make a tackle by throwing their shoulder into a guy's legs. You're not going to tackle many people doing that. You know, in Samuel's case, he didn't get thrown at very often, so he didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and when he did, he was always picking the ball off. But Bodden has been wrapping up, throwing people to the ground, being physical that way. Yes, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
James Sanders, another guy, he hasn't been playing as much lately, but when he's out there, you can count on him to make a proper tackle. I get a little nervous when I see Brandon Merriweather trying to knock people's heads
start
off.
Start to wind up for that big home run hit.
Just wrap the guy up.
Yeah.
I mean, look, McGowan made the play, forcing the fumble, mm-hmm. without just diving and throwing himself in. He wrapped up and made the play.
Mm-hmm. Now we talk about Merriweather, but he was able to create that forced fumble in the season opener against the Bills on the kickoff against McKelvin,
right.
The big one late. So that's you know, that is a point in his favor, but at the same time, I do understand what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Merriweather's at the point with me where Kevin Faulk was 2-3 years into his career in New mm-hmm. England, where every time Kevin Faulk touched the ball, I held my breath because I was always expecting him to fumble.
Yeah.
He's done a great job of allaying those fears, and now he's one of the, you know, he's the guy you go to in the clutch,
mm-hmm.
and you never think about that anymore. Mm-hmm. I'd like Merriweather to get to that point with me. I'm starting to see once in a while he's, you know, trying at least in some cases, but I need to see more of that on a consistent basis. I like what Bodden's been doing, and, you know, the guys we have now, Bodden, Sean Springs, McGowan, even, they're bigger than guys that we've had in the secondary here. Mm-hmm. Before, so that helps. When you're bigger, you can
be
a little bit more physical
yeah.
because you're a better matchup against some of the bigger receivers in the league.
You are listening to Patriots Playbook. My name is Christopher Price. Alongside is Eric Scalavino from Patriots.com and Patriot Football Weekly. You can get in touch with us at 508-543-7482. That's 508-543-7482. You can also email us at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. We got an email here from a guy that I've been in touch with before, a Patriots fan, Paul Darville. He says, "Hey, Chris and Eric, a question for both of you. At the end of week 6, when Mark Lavoie and Brandon Tate are able to be activated, who do you see being cut? And who do you think has the edge getting on the 53-man roster out of Tate or Terrence Nunn?" And Eric, Chris is always on Twitter providing some very good information for fans. Have you ever considered tweeting when you get back from practice? Cheers, and I look forward to welcoming you both to London later this season.
I can't wait to go to London. Are you going to London?
I am not going to London.
Oh, I am not going to London.
I'm going to miss out. That's one of the
few trips this year.
I have never been to London. No, you know what? I was in London once as part of a stopover. Going over to you. So I didn't get into the city. I didn't get a chance to see.
Yeah, you went to Heathrow.
Yeah, exactly.
I was in Heathrow, but I've never been to the city proper.
It's going to be very exciting.
It's going to be very exciting.
You guys are in for a great trip.
Oh, I can't wait.
Who do you think? Let's take a look at that first. Let's take a look at that first one here.
Lavoie or Tate,
when they're able to be activated, Mark Lavoie.
Yes.
Who do you foresee being cut as a result?
Is he saying, does he expect them to be added to the 53,
and then
we have to cut somebody to make room for them?
At the end of week 6, when they're able to be activated.
Or is he saying, are either of those guys going to get cut?
Well, no. He says, at the end of week 6, when Lavoie and Tate are able to be activated, who do you see being cut? So he's presupposing
that they're going to be added to the squad?
To be added to the active roster come week 6. after week six.
I'm not convinced that either one of them will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have the option after 6 weeks to bring them back to the squad, but you also have the option to put them on IR.
Exactly, to put
and
them on
end
IR.
Their season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we don't obviously see... We see them in the locker room now and then, mm-hmm. but that's really not a telling sign as to whether or not they're any closer to being back to full health or not.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at their offensive line right now, they have 10 O-linemen
yep.
on the active roster, one on the practice squad already. I don't know if there's an urgent need for another lineman on the active roster right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, LaVoie did start a few games last year in place of Kazier, and even when Light had some... you know, in-game issues, he would slide over there. So he has the experience. He did very well, I thought, when he played mm-hmm. last year. So, I mean, if he's healthy and you really think he's that much better than who you have, boy, it's a tough call. You're not going to get rid of Vollmer.
No.
Because he's a future star on this team.
I could see him, a victim of the numbers game, just being put on IR for the season. Because it's clear that they like him. They've had him around for a long time. You know, I think he was on the practice squad, if I remember correct. He may or may not have been on the practice squad. They've had him around for a while. They've had him around for a few years now, and he hasn't had a chance to really contribute a whole lot. I mean, like you said, he was, you know, he did see some action last year because of injury. But I think they keep him around. I think they have him on IR for the season. I think that there's a chance that Brandon Tate is activated at some point this season. Because there is still some uncertainty at that kick returner spot, and he's done some return work before. I'm not saying that he'll be able to step in instantly and become, you know, a Pro Bowl kick returner, but I think that there's enough uncertainty there, and I think there's enough uncertainty at the back end of the wide receiver rotation that they may bring him in there. And I'll go back to the thing we were talking about before about Welker.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Tate's been in the locker room, and Tate has talked to us. Tate has been around us. I get the feeling that he's a little bit more comfortable, and I get the feeling that he might be getting the green light sooner rather than later. I don't know who they would lop off the back end of the roster if they activated him, though. They may put him on practice squad for the year. Although no,
they can't do that. He'd have to be cut, and then another team would pick him up.
And that's an excellent point. As soon as I said that, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly. So I think Tate may be on this roster by the end of the season. I don't know so much about Mark LaVoie.
I'm going to disagree with you for this reason. Tate reminds me a lot of Willis McGahee. When he came mm-hmm. out from Miami, he blew out his knee in the bowl game, and that was only 3 months before the draft. Bills took a chance on him in the first round. Actually, got in uniform and got on the field. You know, not on the field, but he dressed for games mm-hmm. that same year, but really wasn't a factor. And I think Tate is in a similar position where I think it was a year ago this month, now that we're in October, that Tate first injured his knee back in North Carolina. And when you blow out a knee, I don't think you want to rush a guy back. I mean, Brady's circumstance, he's at a skill position, but he's not in a position where he has to run around as much. He's not putting as much wear and tear on the knee that a running back or a wide receiver would.
That's true.
Or a tight end. So I think if you can afford to be cautious with a guy like that, especially if you think that he has the talent to be a key contributor for years to come,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you rush him back just because you might be struggling a little bit on offense now.
With the depth.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you rush a guy for that. A guy like LaVoie, where you have a lot of people at that position, you have some moving parts,
mm-hmm.
he obviously has experience with this team and starting in this league. I think he'd be the more likely candidate to be activated.
Okay.
To go back to the wide receivers for a second, you have a guy on the practice squad, Terrence Nunn, who's technically a rookie, should be a second-year guy, but mm-hmm. didn't play football last year. If you wanted to take a chance and add depth, I think you could do that by promoting from the practice squad with Nunn.
As opposed
to rushing back a guy like Tate, who's dealing with having to, you know, get himself back to 100% health,
mm-hmm.
and he hasn't been on the field at all this year
in any capacity.
In an
NFL, that's true. They,
after
might
6 weeks at the earliest, yep. you want him to get back on the field and start contributing. A little too much to ask for a rookie.
The idea of him starting over again next year in training camp might make a lot more sense. We have with us right now on the phone John Rook, the usual host of this show. John, how you doing?
Excellent. Chris, how's it going?
Not bad at all.
Thank you for sitting in today.
No worries. No worries. Eric,
where are you right now, John?
I'm actually on I-79 South, heading to Morgantown.
Oh, no, West Virginia.
A little West Virginia.
Yeah, heading to West Virginia.
Who do you have? Are you calling a game this week?
I have West Virginia, Colorado tonight on ISP Sports Network.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one. That is going to be a good one.
Should be a lot of offense tonight, I would think. So that's what we're hoping for. Making a nice nice game up and down, you know. Throw the spot charts out the window. Let's just go.
All right, John, you need to explain something to me here.
Yeah, what's up?
Your pick for this week. I'm confused.
Okay.
I'm
you
thoroughly
confused.
No, I think I understand it, but you're. I want you to try to explain it to these people. You're picking 16-13. 16-13?
I said 16-13.
Who's going to win?
Ravens.
Okay.
Now, there's a little codicil to that.
Okay.
I say 16-13 Ravens if Welker doesn't go.
Okay.
I say 16-13 Patriots if Welker goes.
I'll buy that.
So Welker's going to be the 6-point difference in the game.
I think so.
By a touchdown? Is he going to score?
Yeah. You know, look at it this way. I mean, based on what Baltimore does defensively, what I've seen and I think what we expect them to do, I mean, I think there's a chance where, you know, you could really use a possession guy like Welker, you know, just to kind of jab away at the middle and keep a guy, you know, like Ray Lewis honest. You know, and frankly, they just haven't had that the last 2 weeks, with all due respect to, you know, Edelman. They haven't had the ability to really rely on that as much as I think they would have with Welker in there.
Well,
so that being said, I mean, Welker probably is good for anywhere from 6 to 10 or more catches in a game. And I think that might be good enough to make at least a couple of field goals difference in the game.
John, what can Wes Welker bring to the field that Julian Edelman has not been able to bring to the field the last 2 weeks?
He knows where to be on these routes, Chris. And he knows how to anticipate Tom Brady, like few other receivers know how to. Even Randy Moss, we've seen at times, struggles in anticipation. But I think one of the things that makes Wes Welker and just an absolute extraordinary receiver is the fact that he anticipates his quarterback extremely well. This is why he was able to slice and dice the Patriots up when he was playing for the Dolphins. So I think Welker has it, whatever it may be. He has that ability to do that, and I think that's a huge difference maker for the Patriots. That's one of the reasons why they went and got him a couple of years ago to begin with.
Now, see, one of our listeners was confused. He thought that you were saying that Welker was going to be the difference because he was going to play defensive tackle and help shut down the run game of the Ravens, and they were going to score 6 fewer points as a result of that. 3 fewer points, and then they would help New England's offense.
Well, listen, if Bill Belichick thought he would help in that regard, I don't think he'd hesitate to put him in there.
Wes Welker is...
I don't have the slightest idea.
Wes Welker and I are basically the same size.
You are?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
I wouldn't want to play defensive tackle.
No.
Wouldn't want to play wide receiver.
No, I would want to play wide receiver. That's a great game.
In this offense?
Kicker. Sure.
As a kicker. Sure. Game. Okay.
No, in this offense, are you kidding me? I'd love to play wide receiver.
John, tell us what the Patriots have to do. Obviously, in your opinion, Welker is going to be a huge factor in this one, and we agree with you, by the way, on that point. But what are some of the other things the Patriots have to do to win this game on Sunday?
Somehow, some way, they've got to be able to sustain drives. I don't know if they can with the way Brady has been, you know, overthrowing receivers. Now, maybe it all clicks this weekend. You know, I think we can all hope that, you know, he's, you know, a little closer to being the normal Tom Brady that we've, been used to over the previous, you know, few years. But, you know, I'm taking into consideration that, you know, it'll probably still be a work in progress. I think you've got to be able to gash him for big plays from time to time, because I just think, you know, up the middle they're so incredibly tough. You know, love Ed Reed, love the safeties. This is a stout team, but then again, I don't think they're quite as strong as they have been. I think they missed Bart Scott when they let him go. So, and the Jets signed him. So, you know, if the Patriots can find a way to, you know, open up the vertical game a little bit and maybe gouge these guys a little bit, and then somehow, because I thought they did a much better job of run blocking this last week, but then again, Atlanta's nowhere near as physical up the middle as Baltimore is, but maybe that's given them confidence again. Figure out a way to, operate in the red zone and get touchdowns as opposed to field goals. You know, I don't think that the Patriots' defense is I don't think it's a bad matchup for them against Baltimore's offense. There's nobody on Baltimore's offense.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. Yeah, it being
that
an even
really
matchup
scares me. Yeah, I just think that's a pretty good matchup for New England's defense. And because they've already played better than we've anticipated this year, you know, I'm willing to say that they probably cancel each other out there a little bit. So to me, the whole key here is whether or not Patriot offense can sustain anything against the Baltimore defense.
Real quickly, before we let you go, the flip around to the other side of the ball, what does Baltimore have to do to win this game on Sunday?
Avoid turnovers and mistakes. You know, if they can do that, when you're on the road in this league, you know, with the parity that's there, you know, if Baltimore can keep from leaving the ball on the ground, if, you know, they can protect Flacco, if they give him time to pass and, you know, he can find Mason and he can, you know, utilize Ray Rice, you know, maybe, you know, wide. And if they get into the red zone, they will be very difficult to stop. And I think we all know that the Patriots have had, you know, problems in the past, although they're better red zone defensively this year than they have been recently. So, it's the same old adage. I mean, you hear it over and over again, but when you play on the road in this league, you have to avoid the mistakes. You can't beat yourself. If they stay with few penalties and clean on turnovers, Baltimore's going to be in it right to the bitter end.
Sounds good, John. Thanks for your time. Have a great one tonight.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Enjoy Morgantown. Yep. That's one of your favorite spots, isn't it?
I love Morgantown. Morgantown's great. You know what's real great about Morgantown?
It's hard to get to. Isn't it?
Yeah, it actually is kind of difficult to get to. They do have an airport in Morgantown, but you can't fly in anything basically bigger than a twin prop. So that's why we have to fly to Pittsburgh and then drive to Morgantown. So, you know, no pre-bananas here. By the way, former Patriot center, graduate of the Super Bowl 85 team, Pete Brock, does the color with me on these games.
Nice.
Yeah, so Mr. Brock says hello.
Well, have a great one tonight. We'll catch up with you soon.
You got it.
Take care, John.
See ya.
That was John Rook, the usual host of Patriots Playbook. We're sitting in for him here. My name is Chris Price, joined by Eric Scalavino, and you're going to leave us here in a few minutes, aren't you?
In a few minutes.
In a few minutes. Well, there's one last part of this email that I want to get to
before
we let you go. The email says, Eric, Chris is on Twitter, providing some very good information. Have you ever considered tweeting when you get back from practice? Do the PFW guys, does Patriots.com, do you guys have a Twitter account?
We don't. Andy Hart, my colleague up there, has an account so that he can follow other people who tweet. But that's the extent that we have of it. We have a blog, which we try to update it, you know, as daily is the goal. It doesn't always work out that way, but we try to put something fun up there daily or something informative. We have the website patriots.com, and that's what I'm leaving to go do and put my update up there as quickly as possible. Obviously more in depth than a tweet would be, but you know, between that and the paper, the blog, there's a lot of stuff. So, I mean, we'd like to think we get enough stuff out there for our fans, but, you know, we'll take it under advisement. We'll see. You never know. In the offseason, maybe we'll...
Patriots.com has a Twitter account.
Right, but not...
But not you
not
guys.
PFW. Not the three of us. Right.
I will take this opportunity to plug my own Twitter account. Feel free to follow me for all Patriots information at twitter.com/CapeLeaguer. Thank you very much. That's twitter.com/CapeLeaguer, C-A-P-E. L-E-A-G-U-E-R, for all your latest Patriots news.
How often do you tweet?
I tweet probably more often than I should. I'm a little bit addicted to it.
I think that's most people's.
Yeah, I'm a little bit addicted to it. And it's fun to do. It's actually, you know, I'm able to do it through BlackBerry. As soon as we leave practice, I'm able to hop on the BlackBerry and say, Will Fork and Mayo were not there at practice today. Tom Brady was wearing pink shoes. You know, for more, check the blog at WEI.com. So it's a good way to kind of get people the information, and then direct them toward a place where you can get even more information.
That's a good segue.
Did you tweet today? Hear me live on Patriots.com radio.
I did not tweet about that.
Yeah,
I know.
Right.
Yeah.
You're still new at this.
I'm still new at this.
You mentioned practice. We should probably tell people what we saw and didn't see
exactly.
At practice today. We kind of teased it at the top. But yesterday, there were three players missing. Gerard Mayo, as expected, Will Fork, kind of expected, and Nick Kazier, which was a little bit of a surprise.
He was back
today.
He was there today.
They were in full pads. They were out there. Mayo and Will Fork were the only two who were missing. So as noted, Wes Welker continues to practice. Remains to be seen whether he'll play this week. And in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the NFL is allowing players on every team to wear pink Accoutrement. Yes, equipment. Gloves, chin straps, cleats, towels. And a few players on this team are doing so. Moss, Maroney are wearing the gloves. We saw Tom Brady in the pink and white cleats today.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a, you know, it's a great awareness effort that and it shows, you know, I think in such a masculine, testosterone dominated sport as football, it's nice to see that they can show that, you know, that they're willing to take a little bit of ribbing from people maybe. To do something like that for a good cause. And it's
you'll be able
cool
to see the pictures and the video tonight or this afternoon, I'm assuming, up on Patriots.com as well, mm-hmm. of Tom Brady wearing pink cleats today and Moss wearing pink gloves and Maroney wearing pink gloves.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I think it's a great thing, and I'm surprised it took the NFL this long to get to it. Major League Baseball has done something with it over the last few years. I think on Mother's Day, that they have pink bats. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that they do. It's a great thing, though, and we shouldn't
right.
damn them by saying that. It's a great thing to do. It's a great cause, and it's worth getting
right.
involved.
Right, and the NFL has been involved with the Susan G. Komen Foundation for many, many years, so they've been well out ahead of this. It's just this is more of a visual display.
A public display
during football season.
Exactly.
And it just happens that October falls during football season, so I think it's cool. It's interesting, you know. I don't think too many people will take flack for doing it either because it's such a good cause.
But, it is.
But it's just it sure is different. It stands out when you see it.
It does.
Kind of cool.
It's fun to see the pictures and you guys will be able to see the video, be able to see the pictures today, mm-hmm. this afternoon, tonight. It's worth checking out.
And one other thing, it's very personal to some players. Like Maroney in particular had an aunt who he said was a breast cancer survivor. So a lot of these players have it's not just a showy thing to draw attention to themselves. They really have a personal connection to it, and you know, stay tuned this weekend. You'll see it in the Baltimore game.
Eric, it's been great hanging out with you for an hour.
You too, man. We hang out a lot during
the locker,
day.
People
just don't get to hear us yap like
this. They just don't put it on the air. That's all.
Yeah, maybe they should from now.
Exactly.
On.
I like that. I like the sound.
All right, man. I will. We'll
we do have
tomorrow.
Another slot in the week if you guys want to do your own show.
I gotta go right now.
There's the excuse already.
he's tweeting too much.
I'm
he doesn't have time
too much
to do another
show. We got another hour here. We're gonna have Russell Baxter from ESPN calling in to give us a bit of an ESPN perspective on this game as well as take us around the league. We're also gonna hear some cuts from the Baltimore Ravens. I believe we're also gonna hear some audio from inside the locker room as well. This is Patriots Playbook.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/Patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA member PIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
We are back here at Patriots Playbook. My name is Christopher Price. You can get in touch with us at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. If you want to send us an email, we've already read one of those on the air. You can also give us a call at 508-543-7482. That's 508-543-7482. But right now, we have on our lines Russell Baxter, the NFL researcher for ESPN.com. He joins Patriots Playbook each and every week to kind of give a spin around the league, take a look at some divisional games, as well as the New England Patriots. Russell, are you with us?
We certainly are, Chris. How are you today?
Not bad. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Always good when it's football talk.
It is always good when it's football talk. It's football weather, too. I don't know if it's the same thing where you are.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's a little cold. Little
very
chilly.
Nonchalantly went out on our deck to turn on our grill and realized that we could see our breath last night. And looked at the calendar, and it's September 30th, and I know we're technically in fall, but I was a little caught off guard, to be honest with you.
This is the way it should be, though. This is perfect weather for the perfect time of year. We got football. We got football talk. Let's kick it off with a place that probably won't have a whole lot of typical football weather this weekend. The other big AFC East game, Buffalo at Miami, at Landshark Stadium. This is a Miami team that is really desperate at this point in the season, this early point in the season, to get a victory.
Yes, they are, and they're facing a Buffalo team that's not too far removed from them as well. Remember, the Bills haven't won a division game in their last seven tries. You know, you have to go back to the 2007 season. Meanwhile, the Dolphins haven't won a game at all this year. Turnover seems to be the big problem. Remember last year Miami was so careful with the football, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
They tied an NFL record set by the Giants last year as well. 13 turnovers in their 16 regular season games. Well, they've coughed off the ball seven times already this year, so they're more than halfway there. And now they've also coughed up a starting quarterback. It'll be Chad Henne instead of Chad Pennington. And Pennington, of course, now out for the rest of the year. The Dolphins went out and got Tyler Thigpen from Kansas City. It's kind of come unraveled for the big Cinderella story of last season. If you're going to make a run, now is the time. And until Buffalo learns to beat somebody in the division, I got to lean toward the Dolphins.
Other than the turnovers, what is Miami doing differently from a statistical standpoint this year that maybe – what's the difference between the two teams this year and last year other than the turnovers?
Well, I think the turnovers is probably the big part of it. They played such a fine – remember all the close games they played last year?
Yep.
Eked out wins against Seattle, eked out wins against Oakland. You know, they had very few comfortable – wins, although one of them happened to come in Foxborough when they unveiled the Wildcat for the world to see. But they play a very fine line. Remember in the playoff game last year, it started to come unraveled. They turned over the ball five times in the loss to the Ravens. So it's a team that has limitations. It'll be interesting to see what Chad Henne brings. Will they try to attack teams more downfield? You know, their wide receiver core leaves a little to be desired. Ted Ginn's had trouble with consistency hanging on to the ball. They've got a good tight end in Anthony Fasano, but you can only go to him for so long, and you can only rely on the running game for so long. You got to develop a little balance. They seem like an imbalanced team. I don't think their defense has played all that horrible. I mean, they've done what they can to keep the defense off the field, and that didn't do it good against Peyton Manning a couple weeks ago. But all the things they did right last year in terms of little details, seem to be coming apart this year. But again, I think the turnovers is a big part of it.
On the other side of the ball, is Buffalo doing enough to get the ball to T.O.?
Well, I can't say if you ask him that's not the case, because I give him credit. He did not have one of his typical blow-ups during this press conference, even though it seemed like he was being goaded a little into it and so on. It's not so much that they're not getting the ball to T.O., it just seemed like they're not getting the ball downfield. They seem very content throwing the ball to their running backs and tight ends. They did that, if you remember, the game against New England in week one on Monday night. You know, Fred Jackson and Shane Nelson are the guys who scored. You know, they did a lot of screens against the Patriots. They ran the ball a lot against the Buccaneers. You know, they played a Saints defense last week that, you know, you got to give them a little credit. Everybody's talked about Drew Brees and their offense and so on. But, you know, the Saints have done a pretty good job taking away the football, and they look like a little better defensive team with Greg Williams as the defensive coordinator. But, you know, the Buffalo team, to me, seems like they haven't really recovered from last year's collapse. Remember, at one time last year, that was a 5-1 football team. They never won a game in the division. They've gotten off to kind of a sluggish start. They only beat Tampa Bay, who looks like one of the worst teams in the league this year. I wouldn't say the worst, but they're certainly in the conversation. And again, their struggles with the division are well documented. They did not beat the Dolphins last year. Played the Dolphins up in Toronto last year. Couldn't beat them there. So they're going to play the Dolphins, you know, here, hoping to get something done. But they to me seem like they have a lot of different little shortcomings. The Dolphins, I think, have some correctable issues, but I'm not sure. Buffalo seems like a team that has some problems on the offensive line, defensive line, so-so, linebackers, injury problems. Nothing seems to be really going right for them either.
Other than Mark Sanchez, setting Mark Sanchez aside, is Fred Jackson maybe the biggest surprise in the AFC East through three games?
I guess it's a possibility, although he has shown flashes when we've seen him in the past. You know, Marshawn Lynch, of course, is eligible to play this week. But I don't know if I would consider him maybe the biggest surprise, because we have seen him string together some good games when called upon as well. I mean, Mark Sanchez, obviously, we weren't sure what we were going to get with the rookie and so on. But it's nice to have depth in the backfield. The way teams run their offenses now with a lot of twos and three backs be involved in, or some teams don't even carry a fullback anymore. They just put two running backs in the backfield. It's nice to have somebody, A, for depth, and B, be able to put maybe Lynch and Jackson in the backfield at the same time.
The other AFC East game, obviously one of the big games, one of the premier games of the week, is going to be taking place down in New Orleans between the Jets and the Saints. What stands out statistically for you about this one?
Well, it's one of those irresistible force meets the you-know-what object. It seems that way. The Saints lead the league in scoring. They lead the league in offensive touchdowns. They proved last week they could run the football. You know, they scored 27 points last week, and Drew Brees didn't throw a touchdown pass. And, by the way, their defense shut the Bills out as far as their offensive unit. Remember, the Buffalo's only touchdown last week came on a fake field goal. So, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. It seems like when the Saints have given up points this year, it's been on maybe on a couple of their own turnovers and so on. That happened against the Lions. They gave up a safety against the Eagles, albeit an intentional one. They look like an improved team, so it's going to be a matter of Drew Brees facing that blitz from the Jets. And the Jets like to blitz anywhere between 60 and 70% of the time and see if they can handle it. I mean, obviously the Jets have been one of the big surprises. I think it's the style of football they have played that have surprised anybody. If you know Rex Ryan, you can't say you're totally surprised, but on the other hand, sometimes when a coordinator comes over from another team, they don't necessarily automatically garner the personality of their new head coach. That is certainly the case there. They are definitely the personality of the new head coach. But I think they have a tall order going into New Orleans and being able to slow down the team that can score in a lot of different ways.
Are the Saints sustainable over the course of the season? And I ask that primarily because we've seen what they can do on offense, but there seems to be some question marks on the defensive side of the football long term. I'm not saying, you know, this week, but I'm saying long term. Is that model the kind of model that can get them to a Super Bowl?
Well, if you have question marks on defense, to me, Chris, it is hard to get to a Super Bowl, because even if you do get to the Super Bowl, you wind up losing, and sometimes losing bad. I mean, you go back to it's a ways back now, but I always talk about the Dolphins and Dan Marino when they got there, that, you know, the prolific year that he had. But that was a team that was fading on defense in the second half of the year. And when they played the Niners and Joe Montana, they were absolutely exposed. So if you play subpar defense at one juncture and the other, eventually it's going to catch up with you. And the Saints have not been a good defensive club the last few years, even the year they got to the NFC Championship game when they lost to the Bears. But it looks like Greg Williams has definitely made some changes and adjustments down there. I think that's a great question. Will it hold up for the long haul? That'll be a big question. I think their biggest competition in that division is obviously Atlanta, who I think is the most well-rounded of the four teams there, although they don't play great defense as well.
The Jets and Mark Sanchez. How is Sanchez doing it? We saw a little bit up here in New England in week two where he hit on a few second-half plays and did just enough to, when it came to game management, to pull out the victory. Is he managing the game? Is he hitting it at the right time? Is he connecting with big plays? What is it about Sanchez that seems to mesh so well with the Jets?
I think there's a quiet air of confidence with Mark Sanchez. When you watch him, I guess playing at the Meadowlands is nothing when you play in front of 100,000 people at USC. Even though, you know, he didn't have a long career at USC where in terms of starts. I believe he started 16 games his whole career with the Trojans. But he has gone on here, and I think the beauty of some of these young quarterbacks that we've seen come in the league the last 5 or 6 years, or even going back, you know, I really think it started with Tom Brady when you took somebody who was inexperienced in terms of NFL action as Brady was, and of course, once he got in there, he wound up winning the Super Bowl. It happened with Ben Roethlisberger eventually, Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco last year. I think there's a couple points to be made. You know, football is played more year-round now, and I say that because, you know, in the old days of 30 years ago, prior to free agency and prior to the big money in the NFL, you know, you got into training camp in July, you played the preseason in August, you played football for 4 or 5 months, and then you went home and did something else. And now there you got your mini camps, your maxi camps, your quarterback camps, your rookie camps, your Vanda camps, your, you know, you've got more camps than you can shake a stick at. But I think that also has helped quarterbacks hone their skills. Plus, you look at the college game now. And the college game now is not run in the wishbone, per se. It's not predominantly run by ground-oriented offenses.
They're pro-style sets.
It's pro-style. And I think that has contributed to some of these quarterbacks, not all of them, but some of these quarterbacks coming in and being kind of ready-made for the NFL, Chris.
You are listening to Patriots Playbook here at Patriots.com. My name is Christopher Price, sitting in for John Rook. There are a couple of games. There's one game that really stands out for me before we get to the Patriots. The Monday night game in Minnesota, Green Bay, Minnesota. It's going to be great theater. What, for you, jumps out about this one, other than the obvious aside of Brett Favre facing his old team?
Well, I'd like to probably dispel the motion that people think that Brett Favre came back particularly for a game like this. I think he particularly came back for both games like this. Because, of course, they'll play in Lambeau Field in about 4 or 5 weeks as well. And I'm sure there are other reasons. As you can tell with Brett, there's a never-say-die attitude about him. Mm-hmm. And whether you like him or not, or whether you agree with what he's done in the offseason or how he's handled his retirement for umpteenth years, last Sunday against the 49ers was one of the great moments in the last couple of years.
That was a great game, both up and down the field. Just a great ball game.
Terrific game, Chris. And by the way, even though we're not talking about the 49ers, don't sell that team short. Mike Singletary is really building something there. That is a team that is they might be. Well, they certainly are one of the most physical. You can make a case they might be the most physical. They do a lot of things right.
They're clearly
but
built.
It was a great pass by Favre on a rope, and it was a great catch by Greg Lewis, who just showed up in time to make that catch. You know, that being said, Minnesota's defense, their defensive front, can get after the quarterback. Green Bay has shown no particular reason why they pretend on protecting Aaron Rodgers so far this year. I find it amazing that so far Aaron Rodgers, think about the duress he's been under. He's been sacked already 12 times in 3 games. And yet Aaron Rodgers has not thrown an interception, which I find very, very interesting. He's done a great job hanging on to the football. But that kind of heat is something in that stadium. It's going to be, remember last year Aaron Rodgers played in there, and be it for various reasons, holding calls or whatever, there were two safeties in that game. either him being sacked or a holding call in the end zone.
That's right. Now that you bring that up, that's a good point. I didn't remember that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, well, most people remember Dan Orlovsky from the Lions running out of the end zone for the safety in that building. So Jaren Allen, to me, is as good a defensive end there is. We saw it a couple weeks ago up in Lambeau Field. Antoine Odom for the Bengals got 5 sacks on Aaron Rodgers. I think Green Bay does a lot of things right, but right now, even though they're 2-1, they're not protecting the quarterback, and even though their defense has been good with takeaways, 9 so far, they're not doing a great job stopping the run. So let me say, you can't protect the quarterback and you're facing Adrian Peterson, at least for this round. I got to give the nod to Minnesota.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, let's get to the main event as far as a lot of us up here in New England are concerned. That's the Patriots and the Ravens, Sunday at 1 here at Gillette Stadium. There's a lot of debate up here in New England as to how the Patriots should go about attacking the Ravens defense, because we saw so much from the Patriots run game last week. People are saying, oh, well, you know, they need to run the ball more, maybe against the Ravens. Go right at these guys, go right at these, you know, this blitzing over aggressive team. A lot of people are saying, oh, well, we need more balance, a little bit more passing. That's going to work out because, you know, you want to do whatever you can to negate the blitz. How do you see the Patriots coming out in this ball game?
Well, balance, I think, is always the key. I think, you know, ultimately, you still don't want the other team to know what exactly you're doing. And, the Patriots have always done a great job of mixing up their game plan. I mean, they wound up with 39 runs last week. Brady still threw 42 passes. Not a great Atlanta defense like we talked about a few minutes ago. But the thing that's interesting about this game is we're going to see a team that's second in points, second in offensive touchdowns, and second in total yards. And it's not the New England Patriots. It's actually the Baltimore Ravens. And I went back and did a little work, not that it was a lot of work, but, you know, last year in the playoffs, those were kind of Ravens we've been used to maybe for like the last 9 or 10 years, doing just enough on offense. In their 3 playoff games last year, they averaged about 232 yards of total offense and scored 54 points. That's about 18 points a game.
Wow.
This year, in 3 games, they are averaging 430 yards of total offense, and only the Saints have scored more points. And for all those people saying, well, I guess Ed Reed's ran back a few touchdowns, or Haloti Ngata has picked up a fumble. No, their offense has scored all the touchdowns. It's 13 touchdowns. They scored 31 or more points in each of their games. This is a very these aren't Ravens. These are vultures so far. And you have to like the progress they've made on offense. I mean, we haven't seen this version of the Raider offense. Now, I will say, defensively, still good. We did see Phillip Rivers throw for well over 400 yards against them a couple weeks ago. And if Phillip Rivers can do it, I certainly won't be surprised if Bill Belichick and Tom Brady take that approach as well.
What's Joe Flacco doing this year that he wasn't doing last year? Does it go back to game planning? We talked a little bit about earlier in the show. We talked a little bit about him being a good game manager last year. Have they just taken the reins off him?
I think that's exactly what they've done. You know, we all listen. We all get our manuals on how to do things and stuff. And, you know, we read the first 12 or 15 pages. Well, I think Joe Flacco is now on page 16 and beyond. And I think they've just kind of expanded the playbook with him. But let's not, you know, the thing that's really funny to me is we have short memories about how coaching and how good a coaching there is in the NFL. And sometimes guys who don't translate into great head coaches translate into great assistant coaches. A great example is Chicago, whose defensive line suddenly has a lot of oomph in it. Well, their defensive line coach is Rod Marinelli, late of the 0-16 Detroit Lions. Well, the offensive coordinator in Baltimore is Cam Cameron, not too far removed from being the 1-15 Cam Cameron with the Miami Dolphins in 2007. And he's done a great job developing Joe Flacco and expanding that playbook this year. And I think it's very, very evident. You know what's interesting about Baltimore? You go back to last year, Chris, and including the playoffs, they've won 10 of their last 12 games, and the only team to beat them are the Pittsburgh Steelers twice.
Wow. Well, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Tell us one last question before we let you go. Last question for me. What do the Patriots have to do to win this game on Sunday?
I think they just have to stand their ground. I think they just have to go out and do what they do best. And with them, you can never tell if they're going to throw 25 times in a row or run 25 times in a row. I mean, I think this is a Baltimore defense that you can run on. The fact that they are scoring so many points, sometimes teams quit on the run and feel like they have to get into a shootout. But New England never seems to have a fear of that. They have to do a great job protecting Tom Brady. There's no question about that, not put him in harm's way. But more importantly, I think New England's defense, which has been exposed sometimes over the middle, underneath. They did a great job, by the way, on Tony Gonzalez last week, limiting him to one catch for 16 yards. They're going to be just the cognizant of this week with Todd Heap, who's kind of had a little revival this year after a couple of injury-plagued seasons. So I think New England, to me, has the balance that it takes to offset what Baltimore does, although Baltimore is very balanced as well. I think more than any other game in the league this week, and I know that's a bold statement, I think play calling will be the key to this game.
Russell Baxter from ESPN.com. Thanks for your time, Russell.
You're welcome, Chris.
Take care. That was Russell Baxter, ESPN.com. You are listening to Patriots Playbook here at Patriots.com. If you want to email us, email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. You can also give us a call at 508-543-7482. That number again is 508-543-7482. We are going to go right into the conference call that Baltimore quarterback Joe Flacco had with the New England media yesterday.
Joe?
Yep.
How are you? Can you talk about, first of all, your second year and the kind of adjustments you've had to make and how good of a start you're off to?
Well, I think, you know, we worked so hard during the offseason to get to the point where we are now, and, you know, we had a good preseason. You know, we proved we could do some things well, and you know, we've just been fortunate to, you know, go out and practice hard during the week and, you know, come ready to play on Sundays. I think we're playing pretty well together as an offense. It always helps when it's your second year, you know, together. You know, we got pretty much everybody back. You know, we got a couple new guys on the line, but they're filling in and doing a great job. And, you know, anytime you're in your second year in the offense, you're going to get better from the first year, and I think that's what you're seeing right now. We're able to do a variety of things in the passing and the running game, and, you know, when you're able to do both, it's kind of tough to, you know, it can be tough to defend if you're doing them well.
How good, I mean, obviously you guys have always had a great reputation as a defensive team, but how good does it feel to be helping the defense out by putting up as many points as you have?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're on the offensive side of the ball, you want to put up points and, you know, kind of hold up your end of the bargain and, you know, prove your worth on the team. And I think that's what we're doing as an offense. We want to prove that we belong on this team and that we can help our team win. And, you know, that's our goal, is to go out there and put points on the board each week and to win football games. And I think, you know, the way we're playing together offensively and defensively, you know, it's tough to beat us. And, you know, as long as we keep this up and understand what kind of hard work it takes to do that, then I think we'll be all right.
Joe, what are the keys to being a good red zone offense?
You got to be efficient, and when your chances come, you know, you got to take advantage of them. Things get tighter down there, so you got to be quicker, but you also have to make good decisions. You know, if you don't get what you want, you got to be willing to check the ball down and move on to the next play. And as long as you're smart with the football, you're going to get your shots down the red zone, and you just got to make sure you take advantage of them when they come to you.
Joe, how's Kelly Washington been as a receiver for you this year?
Kelly's been great. I mean, ever since he came here in the off season and you know, started helping us out, I figured he was going to be a big part of our offense this year. I mean, he's doing a great job. He's a big guy that, you know, does a great job of catching the ball for us and getting open in little holes. So, you know, I've loved him so far, and you know, we're going to keep getting him involved in the game and, you know, hoping that he does a good job.
How much does it help to throw against the secondary you have to throw against in practice?
Yeah, anytime you go against our defense, you know, for the whole off season and, you know, most of training camp, you know, it really prepares you for a long season. You know, they give you a lot of different looks, and they got a lot of great players over on that side to really help you out. And, you know, anytime we go up against the team during regular season, you know, we feel like we're pretty prepared to see a lot of different looks just because we've gone up against our defense. And, you know, obviously, like I said, they prepare you, you know, to play different ways just because of, you know, what kind of caliber players we have on that side.
Joe, what do you think it does for your team's preparation as the season goes on to have played now New England? You will have played New England on the road, playing San Diego on the road. How important do you think that is, and as the season goes along?
Yeah, I mean, in the NFL, you're going to have to win tough games, and you know, the more experience you get in those tough games, then the better you'll be when it really counts. And you know, I think we were a good team last year in those situations, but you know, in the end, we didn't win. But you know, I think the more games and the more experience we get in these type of games, the more we'll be prepared when it comes. And you know, San Diego was definitely a game like that, and now you know, coming out there to your guys' place is definitely going to be another game like that. Yeah, you know, I think we embrace playing on the road. We enjoy it, and yeah, I think that you know that kind of helps us out when we go on the road and you know, playing somebody else's house.
Joe, how have you profited from your experience a year ago, you know, getting not just your feet wet, but really getting thrown into the breach and handling it the way you did? How has that, you know, improved your play this year, do you think?
I couldn't even begin to tell you. You know, 19 games last year, to play 19 games was unlike anything, you know, I've ever experienced. It, you know, what it's done for me this year is, you know, like I said, I can't even explain it. You know, if this was my fourth game, you know, ever, it'd be a lot different than, you know, than it is now being my 23rd. I mean, anytime you're thrown in there and asked to, you know, to lead the team and, you know, score points and win games, you're definitely, your learning curve is going to, you know, speed up and you're going to become better quicker. And, like I said, last year when I came in, I had said that I wanted to play from the beginning and I hoped I was fortunate enough to do that. You know, it ended up happening. So, but you know, all along I had said I wanted to play in the beginning for this reason, not necessarily to play right away. I mean, obviously I wanted to play right away, but I figured it would help me out, you know, so much in my long term, you know, down the road in my career, you know, second year, third year, fourth year. You know, I'm just light years ahead of where I would have been if I was going into my fourth game right now.
To what degree do you feel like you're a kindred spirit with a guy like Matt Ryan? Both of you gone through similar experiences now, you know, with your clubs.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's awesome to see another guy in the league, you know, going out there and having success. You know, they just came up here. They just went out there and played you guys, and, yeah, they're doing well this year. So, it, like I said, it's good to see, you know, to see your peers playing well. And, you know, anytime, you know, you can kind of relate to a guy just because you're kind of going through similar things, it's kind of good to see, you know, you're both adapting to the situations you're thrown into and, you know, making the most of them.
Joe, has Cam given you any more freedom or latitude this year, loosen the reins on you any more than last year?
I don't think he's given me any more freedom within our plays, but, you know, it definitely feels like we're, you know, we've opened up the offense a little bit, per, you know, if that's what you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're definitely, you know, I think we've expanded our game a little bit that, you know, we're kind of, right now, we're at least playing well in both areas of the game, the passing game and the running game. And you know, I don't know. I guess Cam has opened it up a little bit, if you want to say that. But you know, I think you know, we played last year the way we were supposed to play, and the way that gave us the best shot of winning. And I think this year we're doing the same thing. And if things have changed a little bit, it's just because you know our offense as a whole has grown, and we've become more comfortable with each other and more comfortable with the plays we're running. And that's not just myself. That's our offensive line. That's our running backs. And that's our receivers, you know, all understanding the offense better. And, you know, therefore we're able to do more things in it.
Any sense of satisfaction that the Baltimore, your offense is finally getting some recognition where it's all – when you think of Baltimore, you think defense, defense, defense. But now the offense is kind of come up to par.
Yeah, I don't think recognition is a big deal for us. I think the biggest thing for us is that, you know, we're happy with ourselves that we're putting points on the board and we're holding up our end of the bargain. And, you know, all the recognition that we need is from our defense and from our coaches and from the rest of the guys in the offensive room. And as long as we have that, you know, we understand that we're a team and playing together, then we're happy. You know, we don't necessarily need the recognition. It's obviously, you know, it's not nice to get. It's, you know, it's nice to get every now and then, but you know, it doesn't mean anything if you don't go out there and do it week in and week out. And you know, that's what we're planning to do.
Can you relate, Joe, what it was like that first time you took your first NFL snap? I mean, was it a concerted effort to make sure you didn't line up under guard? You know, like some guys have.
I don't know if it was that bad. You know, I always tell people, you know, nothing will ever be as bad as when I was a freshman in high school and went under the and got into a varsity game for the first time. I don't think any experience has ever been, you know, quite as bad as that for me. So I always kind of look back to that when I'm in a situation, you know, similar to that, and you know, kind of reflect on it and, you know, try to help myself out that way. So I don't think it was like that. I was excited. I was anxious. I was nervous. You know, a lot of different feelings, but, you know, in the end, I felt pretty comfortable and was pretty happy with the way everything turned out.
Why was that experience so bad for you the first time varsity?
It wasn't that it was bad. It was just, you know, I was nervous. You know, I got in and we were getting killed. You know, we were playing against a bunch of guys that I probably already had played against, you know, in a JV game or something like that. But, you know, just the magnitude of the whole thing, you know, being a freshman and being, you know, basically a little kid, I don't think I'll ever be in that kind of position again. That was, like I said, I can deal with anything. If I could deal with that, that's how I feel. And, I obviously was able to deal with that and move past it. So I kind of reflect back on that whenever I'm starting to feel a little bit, you know, nervous or something like that.
Joe, a couple of us just talked to Robbie Agnone, who had some very nice things to say about you. What are some things that we might not know about Robbie and what he can bring to the table?
Oh, Robbie's a big athletic guy that can, you know, catches the ball great. And, you know, he is a... He didn't play tight end in high school, but, you know, in college he did a great job. He was a basketball player in high school, so obviously he's a really good athlete. And, you know, I think the biggest thing about him is he's tried to improve his run blocking and, you know, make sure that he can be a, you know, good blocker, not just pass catcher. And, you know, the biggest thing about him, though, is, like I said, he's a big kid. He's about 6'6", 260-some pounds, and he can still run and catch the ball well. So, yeah, I think if he gets a shot, you know, he'll do a good job because there's not going to be anybody, you know, on the team or, you know, elsewhere that works harder than he does. And I think, you know, the coaches around there will see that.
Joe, in looking at a guy like Mark Sanchez and what he's going through, are you reminded of what you went through your first year? And do you see him as being another in among those guys such as yourself and Matt Ryan who are kind of emerging as maybe the new vanguard here in terms of NFL quarterbacks?
You know, obviously, I mean, they're doing a great job winning games up there in New York, and, you know, it looks like he's getting more and more comfortable each week and having a good time doing it. So, yeah, I wish him the best of luck, and, you know, I definitely can remember and reflect back on last year when I see those guys winning games and stuff like that. But, like I said, the most important thing is to win games, and that's what they're doing right now. So, best of luck to them, and as long as they keep doing that, he'll have fun. And, you know, if they keep winning games, then he's going to be one of those quarterbacks that they're talking about.
Yeah. Have you had him reach out to you at all?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I saw him when we played them in the preseason, but yeah, besides that, I haven't really talked to him. I don't really talk to anybody, so okay. I'm not really a good example.
Joe, the Patriots D has been a lot stronger this year than maybe some people had expected. When you look at them on film, what jumps out at you?
Hey, they're a team that plays smart, and they're where they're supposed to be, and you know they do a good job. I think they had about 6 sacks in the first 3 games, and they do a good job of doing what they're supposed to do, and you know, run stopping and not letting you do too many things in the pass game that's going to hurt them. You know, over the long run, the biggest thing they've done so far in the first three games is they've not allowed, you know, a lot of plays to be ran by the offenses, and you know, that's a credit to both their defense and their offense. But you know, they haven't allowed their opponent's offenses to be on the field that long, and therefore they haven't really scored too much. So anytime you can keep offense off the field, it's going to be the credit. It's going to you know, obviously help you out because you're not going to be out there all game. And when you are out there, you're going to have the energy to go out there and make sure you give it your all every play. So you know, one of the biggest things for us is going to be to make sure that we convert on third downs, and we try to keep ourselves on the field as long as possible so that we can get as many plays and give ourselves as many chances as we need.
How much of a pain is Ed Reed in practice?
Well, you know, right now I don't have to deal with him. That's Troy and John that have to deal with him right now on the scout team. But I got to tell you, during the summer and you know, during training camp, you never know where he's going to be. He's really well around the ball. You know, if he gets around the ball, he's going to go up and he's going to make the catch. And then once he makes the catch, you know, it's very tough to tackle him. So he's a great player, and we have a lot of those guys on the other side of the ball, so it's a lot of fun to be with them every day.
You're converting on 70% of the plays within the red zone so far this season. Very well done. Do you think you can keep that percentage up against the Patriots?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think we can keep that up against, you know, anybody that we're going to play, and that's our goal, is to get in the red zone and score touchdowns. And, you know, anytime you're an offense and you're the quarterback of that offense, you believe you can do something like that. And, you know, as long as we keep playing smart and and not trying to do too much, then I think we're gonna operate at a pretty successful rate. And you know, I don't know where that percentage will end up, but I would like to believe it's gonna be pretty darn good.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later. Have a good day.
That was Joe Flacco, Baltimore Ravens quarterback. My name is Christopher Price. You are listening to Patriots Playbook right here on Patriots.com. If you want to get in touch with us, there are two ways to get in touch with us. Shoot us an email at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. I want to read a few real quick emails before we start getting ready to get on out of here. This one's from Andrew Pizzelli. And I apologize if I'm mangling the name. Says, hey, guys, I'm really looking forward to this week's game. I think it's going to be another close one. I think if the Pats' offense, namely their red zone offense, can come together, they should be able to win this game. From what I have seen, I am confident this defense will be able to hold the Baltimore offense in check long enough to give us a chance at least of getting a lead and then playing with it. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if we have another fantastic finish like the last time these two teams met. Andrew, that's an excellent point. The last time these two teams met was back in December of 2007 down in Baltimore at M&T Bank Stadium. A great finish, a classic finish.
Jabbar Gaffney.
Jabbar Gaffney's touchdown with less than, I think it was 10, 15 seconds to go. It was a great ball game. Actually, you know what? It was 44 seconds left. An 8-yard scoring pass from Brady to Gaffney with 44 seconds left gave the Patriots a 27-24 win, probably at least during the regular season. The toughest game for the Patriots that season, that 16-game season, the regular season where the Patriots went 16-0. One of the things that jumps out for me, and it's kind of interesting for me, is that Baltimore, in the four games the Ravens have played against the Patriots, they played four games, or they played two of those games here in New England, and the Ravens have never scored a touchdown. Back in January of 2000, not Bill Belichick's first season, Pete Carroll's last season, actually. 2000 season was Pete Carroll's, well, regardless. You know what? Now I got to call that up. Anyway, January 2nd, 2000.
Football time. Here we go.
January 2nd, 2000. The Patriots beat the Ravens 20-3 at Foxborough Stadium. And then on November 20, 2004, in a driving rainstorm, I was here for that one, the Patriots beat the Ravens 24-3. Give me another email here.
Wow.
Yeah, that was quite a ball game. Got an email from TJ. I'm not even going to try and say the name here. TJ in New Jersey. Hey, guys, which website is the best to get injury report information for the entire league? I hear NFL.com is inaccurate. One of the best places for me to get injury information, at least for the Patriots, is right here at Patriots.com, as well as ProFootballTalk.com. ProFootballTalk.com has pretty extensive information. I also go to a website called Max Football Blog. If you go out and Google it, you should be able to find it, run by a very good guy, one of my good friends, Brian McIntyre. And that's a great place to get injury information as well. We're going to get another email here. Stephen Freites, or Frates. I'm going to assume it's Stephen Freites. Hey, guys, great show. I really can't believe the respect the Ravens are getting nationwide, considering the schedule they've played and the yards they have given up to many of those teams. I think the Patriots, having spent a week on the Jets, will be well-prepared and will move the ball. The question will be the red zone offense and the ability to finish drives. Thanks, Steve. That brings up an excellent point, one that Andrew touched on a little bit earlier, and I think it's a key for the Patriots this week against Baltimore. Really important for them. It's always important for them to finish off a drive. But it's become a bit of a problem for the Patriots this season. Going into this game through three regular season games, the Patriots are 4-for-13 in the red zone, converting at just 30.8%. That is 28th best in the National Football League. By way of comparison, Tampa Bay, and this shows you that red zone offense is not always the be-all and the end-all when it comes to determining how good a team is. The number one team when it comes to converting inside the red zone in the National Football League this year through three games is Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is 5-for-6 on red zone possession, converting at 83%. Baltimore is actually tied for third when it comes to converting in the red zone, 10-for-14, converting at a rate of 71%. Got another email here from Amy. One of the things I do just want to bring up before we move on from that, converting in the red zone obviously is very important. The Patriots, one of the reasons that they have not been able to convert successfully in the red zone this season is because there's been miscommunication, there's been lack of execution, there's been a lot of problems for them offensively once they get inside that red zone. We saw that they were 0-3 against the Jets. They were 1-5 last week against the Falcons. And a lot of times it's just bad execution. We saw Joey Galloway run out of the back of the end zone once. We've seen them take some bad penalties. They all said it this week. They need to sharpen up. They need to play better in the red zone. They need to finish off drives with touchdowns and not with field goals. Here's a question from Amy Block. I don't need that to come up here. There we go. Hey, fellas, just saw this on Pro Football Talk, just one of those websites we were talking about, and thought you could talk about it. According to Karen Garigian from the Boston Herald, Randy Moss, quote, couldn't walk on Monday and was stiff today. Is there any doubt that he'll play on Sunday? They say, great job in the Game Day blog. Signed, Amy. Here's the story posted by Tom Curran earlier today from the Boston Herald blog, done by Karen Garigian. Tom E. Curran, exactly. Tom E. Curran. Got to make sure I get that one right. It's a quote from Randy Moss. He said, I got home Sunday and I thought to myself, how did you play? Because I really couldn't walk on Monday. Moss, who practiced fully on Wednesday and Thursday of last week, appeared on the Patriots injury report last Friday as questionable with a back injury. He didn't give an exact accounting of how the injury occurred, saying it, quote, just slipped out, end quote, on him. Still, he was able to catch 10 balls for 116 yards in the New England victory. Moss rarely speaks to reporters during the week, and the Patriots under Bill Belichick are exceedingly tight-lipped about injuries. Quite an effort from Moss, especially when it comes to the back injury. 10 catches for 116 yards. One of the things that I've seen from Moss this year that I think is kind of interesting is the fact that they're using him in a different way. The Patriots are not going downfield as much as they have in the past with him, at least through the first three games. I'll say that, at least through the first three games. Not so much, you know, we'll see how it shakes out during the rest of the regular season. But so far, through the first three games, we haven't seen Moss go downfield much, if at all. And I wonder if that's going to be the case throughout the rest of the season. We have this, having a problem with email. But if you want to get in touch with us, shoot us an email at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is also 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. My name is Christopher Price, sitting in for John Rook here on Patriots Playbook.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir?
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted,
what?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
What?
You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got
it? Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA member PIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and Internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football shaped serving trays.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
We are back here on Patriots Playbook. My name is Christopher Price, sitting in for John Rook. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. You can also give us a call at 508-543-7482. Just a few more emails before we wrap up here. Although this is a stat that really stood out for me. We were talking about how Baltimore has only played two games here in New England, the Baltimore Ravens, that is, not the Baltimore Colts. The Patriots have played just two regular season home games against Baltimore with a 20-3 win in the final game of the 1999 season. That was Pete Carroll's season. That was not Bill Belichick's season, January 2nd, 2000, and a 24-3 win on November 28th, 2004. The only two teams that have fewer trips to New England are Houston and Carolina, with one visit each. Want to read some email here before we wrap on up. The first one comes to us from, I'm going to mangle this one again. It's AVE. I'm going to assume it's Ave from Longmeadow. The NFL Players of the Month were just announced. The Lions safety Louis Delmas was named Rookie of the Month. He was the first player taken in the second round. He was the consensus best safety available, and Detroit made a smart value pick. My question, the Pats used the very next pick on safety Pat Chung, who has looked okay on special teams, but semi-lost at times in coverage. Did they reach, especially considering there were great linebacker prospects still out there, James Laurinaitis, Everett Brown, et cetera, et cetera? I don't think that they reached. I think they like what they've seen so far out of Pat Chung. Down the road, who knows? But at this point, they like what they've seen from him. He's had limited reps in this system, but that's pretty much par for the course when it comes to a rookie. He's going to get better. I have a very good feeling about this pick. I have a very good feeling about Pat Chung. I like what they've seen from him so far, and he's going to continue to build on that going forward. One more quick question on...
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Hello, sirs. I remember Bill Belichick saying in the past, you know what you have for a team around week five. Do you have a feel this year might be more of a work in progress offensively, considering Tom was out all last year, and the defense is the defense really as good as the numbers indicate? Your thoughts. Take care and keep up the good work. That's from David Dion. I think that you really have a good feel for your team round about Thanksgiving, which is what, round about, what I'm thinking, probably about week 10 or so. Week eight through 10, you probably have a better sense of your team. I do think that this team is better defensively, but I think a large part of that is because we have had some lowered expectations for them. When Gerard Mayo went out and you had these older guys, the guys Rodney Harrison's, Richard Seymour's, Teddy Bruschi's, Junior Seau's, Mike Vrabel's, those guys leave, you really didn't know what you had with his defense. And so I think they were pretty much an unknown quantity. But they are. They have performed better than expected thus far, and I think that there is a real reason for optimism going forward with the younger guys, especially like Brandon McGowan out there. We got Brian Lowe in studio with us. I'm literally just throwing it right to you here. I'm sorry.
Yes, you do have Brian Lowe in studio.
How are you doing,
what do
man?
You think of? We have Chris Price in studio.
This is exciting. This is exciting to be a part of. Eric Scalavino was here earlier. We're kicking some stuff.
I'm sorry.
Out.
I'm sorry about that.
No,
just kidding. No, just kidding.
We had a chance to talk a little Ravens. We had a chance to talk a little Patriots. We had a chance to kind of preview this game a little bit. tell us what you think, what how you see this week's game shaping up.
This is going to be one of their toughest games. I mean, this is going to be one of their toughest games. I think this when you're a team offensively that's in the process of trying to get some rhythm going, which the Patriots definitely are, as Tom Brady admitted, this is the wrong team to play.
Exactly.
To get going on that. I'm not saying that they can't have an effective offense because, in my opinion, last week against Atlanta, they scored 26 points without really having a smooth offense. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady, I thought, was fairly ineffective. If you can score 26 points in that kind of game, playing that way, I think that's pretty promising going forward. But you know, this is a defense that is ferocious, and I think they're I think they're ahead of where the Jets are, and the Jets really gave the Patriots fits. It's going to be a struggle for them offensively. I think defensively is where the Patriots have been surprising. I mean, they've been surprising. I think if they can hold down the fort on the Ravens' running game, which is going to be even harder without Vince Wilfork, who two straight days he's out of practice, it probably doesn't bode well for him being able to play. Mm-hmm. But if they find a way to shut down McGahee, he's one of the hottest running backs in the league right now. If they find a way to keep them on, you know, keep them off balance, then I think they'll have a little bit of success. But I don't know where to go on this game as far as a prediction.
You got to finish off drives. That's key for that. I don't think the Patriots can go 1-for-5 in the red zone again this week, especially against a team like Baltimore. You got to be able to finish off those drives and get touchdowns and not field goals. I think if they end up coming out of this game kicking 3 or 4 field goals, I think there's going to be a real problem.
And Baltimore is one of the stingiest defenses in the red zone. Baltimore's defense is good in every category, mm-hmm. but specifically in the red zone, they're one of the 2 or 3 best in the league right now in red zone defense. So it's one of those strength versus weakness sort of thing where often the strength, the team with the strength is going to succeed. So tough one. Tough one to really put your finger on. And I'll give the edge a little bit to the Patriots, just, you know, what their success overall in younger quarterbacks that they've seen for the first time. They're at home, and you know they've got a little bit of momentum right now. But I don't have a lot of confidence in saying that.
We just got the injury report, the Thursday injury report. The two guys that we knew that we did not see out there that we talked about a little bit earlier, linebacker Gerard Mayo and nose tackle Vince Wilfork, they are listed in the did not practice category. The following players were listed under limited participation. These are all limited participation guys. Cornerback Darius Butler. Right tackle Nick Kazier. I always mangle his name.
Kazier.
Wide receiver Randy Moss. Wide receiver Matthew Slater. Defensive back Sean Springs. Wide receiver Wes Welker. Cornerback Jonathan Wilhite. And defensive tackle Mike Wright. All of those guys listed as limited participation. And, of course, right shoulder, full participation, quarterback Tom Brady.
Oh, he was just added to the report?
He was just added to the report.
I didn't know he was on the report.
Consistency is everything. So let me run these down one more time. Did not practice, Mayo and Wilfork. Limited participation.
Yeah.
Limited participation, Darius Butler.
What are you laughing at?
Kazier, Randy Moss, Matthew Slater, Sean Springs, Wes Welker, Jonathan Wilhite, and Mike Wright. Don't think there are any real surprises out of that group from what we've seen and over the course of the last 2 weeks. Anything? Nope.
I mean, it's rare that you get a surprise kind of like Moss last Friday where, you know, when we were out at practice, you know, for the stretching portion, I mean, he was there. Mm-hmm. You don't really see him do anything. He was there. And then a couple hours later, you see him
on the report.
Nothing big. I think, to me, the real interesting position to be watching for in the next 72 hours is cornerback. And not that the Ravens have a wide receiver group that is, you know, legendary or anything, but last week the Patriots ended up playing with only 3 cornerbacks, mm-hmm. which is tough to go into any game, especially a game against Atlanta. Now you've got Butler, Springs, and Wilhite are all on the report in one way or the other, which leaves Bodden and Wheatley as the only fully healthy. Wheatley wasn't on there, right?
Wheatley was not on there.
Bodden and Wheatley as your only fully healthy cornerbacks. That's tough. I'm sure between Wilhite, Springs, and Butler, at least 2 of the 3 will play. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's long-term injuries there, but that's cornerback's a position where depth they've had run into a little bit of problem.
You got to get a little more depth there. Yeah. Let me run this down really quickly. The Baltimore Ravens injury report: The following two players did not participate. Actually, no, this is last week's. We do not have the updated one yet. We don't have the updated one, and not last week's, but yesterday's.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
We don't have the updated injury report from the Baltimore Ravens yet. I'm sure as soon as we get it.
You know, information travels slow in 2009. You know, just
getting it up here, horse and carriage.
Well, I remember yesterday, yeah, they came out kind of piecemeal, Patriots of one time.
That's true. That's true. The Ravens did. The Ravens
maybe they might practice a little later than the Patriots do anyways. That could be as well.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. I had a chance to sit in here for John Rook here on Patriots. It's playbook, and hopefully sometime in the not-too-distant future down the road, I'll be able to come on back and do it again.
Always good having you. Well, you going to stick around maybe for a little bit of fantasy football talk, Chris?
I cannot. I got
to take
off.
Do you have a fantasy football team?
I do have a fantasy football
team. How are you doing this year?
I have two fantasy football teams.
Good for you. I like it.
I am 2-1
yeah.
in both my leagues. I was lucky enough. I was in a keeper league, and I drafted LaDainian Tomlinson Adrian Peterson as a rookie. And that has paid dividends.
He's all right.
Down there. Yeah, yeah.
He's doing okay.
Sweet. Yeah, exactly. Very sweet. He's done very well for me. So, although my big question this week, and I can ask you this question before, what is Donovan McNabb's status this week, and should I play him?
I wouldn't play him.
I have him as my quarterback.
I wouldn't play him. I don't think he's been ruled out yet, but I think it's more likely that Kevin Kolb plays, and he's a guy who's doing well. I mean, if you happen to have him on your team, too, I'd probably go with him. Who are your other quarterbacks?
I don't know. Yeah. That is a tough question. That's a tough question.
Chris, that's all right. I wouldn't I'd wait till Friday or Saturday before you make that final decision on McNabb, but I don't think he's going to be playing.
Okay.
I think Hasselbeck has officially been ruled out once again.
Okay.
I saw that today. I don't think McNabb has officially been ruled out, but it doesn't look likely.
If I have to go looking for bottom feeders, if I have to go looking for guys who might not be a bad choice, you know, that might be overlooked in terms of quarterbacks.
What, as I say that, I'm trying to think, have I seen McNabb being ruled out? He doesn't have to be ruled out because they have a bye. So here I am talking about who's playing, who's not playing. They have a bye. So
this is how closely I follow my own fantasy football team.
Shame on me, too, to not remember that. So he is on a bye. So you don't even have to worry about that at all. As for who to go grab, well, this is one of the topics we're going to talk about in the next hour, in the sense that this seems to be the first week of this season where there have been a ton of quarterback changeover, not necessarily for the better from a fantasy perspective because, you know, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't want to go into a fantasy week with Josh Johnson, Chad Henne, Kyle Bowler. Oof. I mean, these are some of the guys that you're looking at that are probably – readily available for in your league, but I'll tell you what, the guy maybe long term, I don't know about this week, the guy long term among all these guys who are jumping in, Chad Henne, I think, is the one, the one who has the best chance this year, just because I think when you look at Josh Johnson, that's a terrible overall offense. Yeah. I think Miami's running game is pretty good, which should help him. He probably wouldn't put up huge numbers like Matt Castle did last year, but I think he could put up competent numbers in a bye week if you have a quarterback that's on a bye week. I think I'm going to go on a hunch on that one, but Sean Hill is another guy.
Sean Hill
of San Francisco, putting up decent fantasy numbers. If you're looking for a guy, he could be available.
If you're looking for
a 1 week or a guy to, you know, if you know a backup to have on your roster, you could do worse than him. He's, you know, take a look. I'm not sure how deep your league is. Mm-hmm. Look, and specifically this week, they play St. Louis.
You
need to know.
See, exactly. Everyone gets healthy when they play St. Louis. Everybody gets healthy when they play the Rams.
As soon as you leave here, Chris, go check your league. Go check your waiver wire. If you can pick up Sean Hill, do it.
I'm going to be listening.
Do it.
I will check that, and I'll be listening.
Do it.
Thanks a lot to everyone who helped me out. Thanks very much to Jason behind the glass. I'm going to be doing this again, hopefully again sooner rather than later. My name is Chris Price. You've been listening to Patriots Playbook.